But once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in a listening audience coming to you today from Kenya. It's very hot here today. More typically, Africa weather is what you would think about in Central Africa, Sub-Sahara Africa. And so we're having 90 degree plus heat and mosquitoes, and it's a lot of dust flying around in the air, a lot of dust out at the Shamba. And so this is typical Africa weather during their dry season. And so we thank the Lord for this day. We're going to be talking about fruit of the Spirit. If you've been with us the last 3 weeks, you know we talked about walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. And today we're going to be focusing in on the fruit of the Spirit. We briefly touched on it last week, but today we're going to focus in on some of the individual fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to be looking at love, which is the first fruit that is listed here by the Apostle Paul, the first fruit that is listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. And I'll read this passage of Scripture before we jump in to the study of love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh, Paul says, with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so Paul lists there nine different attributes, nine different characteristics or qualities of a Spirit-filled person, a person who is walking in the Spirit. This will be the fruit that is obvious to people, that you are a Spirit-filled, God-fearing, God-loving person, is that these fruits will be hanging off of your life. They will be hanging off your tree, so to speak. And so if these fruits are common in your life and they are distributed as you go about your days and as you go about your life, other people are going to see that, and other people are going to love that about you. Other people are going to respect you for that. And you've probably heard the saying, some people say that the only Bible some people will read is when they look at your life. And that is so true. Some people don't even have a Bible this day and age. If they do, they don't know where it is. And many, many people don't have time, or they don't think they have time to read their Bible. And so they have a lot of ideas about what the Bible says. They hear it from their friends. They hear it from social media. But they don't really know what God's Word says. And so if you can show them that Jesus is alive in you, if you can show them that the Holy Spirit of God abides in you, and that the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit that is exemplary or is typical in your life, or that is in evidence in your life, that fruit is distributed to the people that you come in contact with each and every day. It's like passing out fruit on the street. You go by, you give somebody a banana, you give somebody an orange, you give somebody a pineapple, you give somebody a mango. And so when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you're continually distributing these fruits in the interactions you have with people, in the relationships with you have with people, even your wife, even your husband. It starts right in your own home, and it extends to your church family, it extends to your biological family, to your children. And beloved, when you have these fruits of the Spirit that are obvious and typical in your life, people will see it, they will admire it, they will envy it, and even try to copy it, even if they don't understand where it came from. And so that is God's plan for us when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The Apostle John, people say a teenager, when he started to follow Jesus and he became one of the 12 apostles or 12 disciples of the original ones, and he is called, his nickname is the one who Jesus loved. So Jesus had a great affinity for him, a great affection for him. In fact, so much so that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he gave John the responsibility and the privilege to take care of his mother. And he did that while he was hanging on the cross. John was down below him with his mother and the other people that were there supporting Jesus. And so Jesus told this apostle, the one that Jesus loved, I want you to take care of my mother after I have gone from this world. Well, 1 John 2:15 is a great scripture. It talks about the love for the world in comparison to the love for the things of God and the kingdom of God. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world, John says, or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, what does he say here? Do not love the world. Beloved, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a new creation in Christ, then the world is passing away. Those things that you used to love in the world, the hobbies that kept you away from church, the hobbies that you had that kept you away from Bible study or prayer, those addictions maybe that kept you away, the iniquity that you had separated you from God. So you cannot love the world. That doesn't mean you don't take care of your car. That doesn't mean you can't go out and play a game of basketball or play a game of soccer. Yes, you can have sports in your life. You can have athletics. You can have other interests, even some hobbies. But beloved, when those things become more important to you than the kingdom of God and your pursuit of your destiny and your calling in the kingdom of God in your life, and those things become more important to you than your pursuit of God. And beloved, when that happens, God is going to, at some point in time, strip you of those things. At some point in time, he's going to break you down. He'll put your knees on the ground, and he'll take those things out of your hand. It may come at your deathbed. It may come when you get divorced. It may come when you take bankruptcy. It may come when you get seriously injured in an accident. But at some point in time, you will come to realize and recognize that God and the pursuit of God is the most important thing in your life. And if you elevate things in your life from the world, hobbies, pursuits, fame, fortune, whatever it is that you spend your time, spend your money, spend your zeal and your passion on, if those things are not of the kingdom of God, at some point in time, God will take those things from you and he will make a correction in your life so that you can come back and get your focus on God. And again, some people, that only happens when they reach their deathbed, when they reach a terminal illness or cancer or some dramatic grave situation in their life. Maybe that's when the correction comes. But God wants you to know that you cannot love the world more than you love him, or that is idolatry. Well, John says in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that is the passions and the lust stirred up by fleshly pursuits, the lust of the eyes, those things that you see that stir up envy and stir up pride and stir up lust and stir up those things that are fleshly things, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, those things are not of the Father, but those things are of the world. Pride is a big killer of people. People get very arrogant. They get very prideful. They look at the big business they have built and they say, wow, look at that business I built, or look at the tractor out there on my farm. I paid $200,000 for that tractor and it is so nice, and it's all because of my hard work. Well, beloved, there are many people around the world that work hard and they don't have anything. They can't even buy food because they don't have enough coins at the end of the day or the end of the week to put together. And so God has blessed us here in America beyond anything that we can describe, beyond anything that we can even imagine. We came into a land that was very, very blessed and full of abundant resources, full of fresh water, full of good land that is a wonderful farmland. And so we cannot take responsibility that our own hard work and our own ingenuity, our own entrepreneurship, all of those things, we cannot take responsibility for that. Yes, if you're a good worker, you can be proud of that fact. God wants you to keep working hard. If you have a good business, God wants you to keep working that business hard. But many, many things in America come because we were blessed to be born in America. I've seen many, many people here in Africa. They have very little in terms of material wealth, and yet they work hard. They're diligent in their work. They love the Lord. They praise the Lord. They worship Him. They study their Bible, and yet the advances in their material life, the blessings in their material life, are extremely hard to come by when they deal with the government or other people in business. It's very painful because the government is so corrupt that they steal their money and people in business steal their money. And so it's just very difficult in places around the world that don't have the same kind of blessing and the same kind of start that we got when we were born in the United States of America. John says in verse 17, he says, "The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Well, in the end time scenario, this world is going to pass away. Eventually, we will see a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and going to be burned up with fire. The first earth was covered with the flood, but the next earth is going to be burned up in the fire, and then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And if you are a born-again believer, you're going to come back with Jesus at the millennial reign, and you will be here for the new heaven and the new earth, and you will be a participant. You will rule and reign with Jesus Christ for all eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. And that's what John is talking about. He's saying that old earth and the lusts of it are passing away. And so John would say, if he were sitting here today and talking to you, he would say, don't get too attached to this world. Don't get too attached to the earthly things that you desire and the pursuit of the flesh, the leisure and the indulgence of the flesh. John would say, don't get too attached to that. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Keep your heart set on doing God's will, and then you won't be disappointed if people leave your life, if businesses leave your life, if you lose your money, if you get divorced, if you get sick. You're not going to be crushed. You're not going to be broken if your heart is not set on the world. Well, in verse 14, John talks about the love of your brother. And this is different than the love of the world. The love of your brother is phileo. That's Philadelphia. We get the word Philadelphia from phileo, the Greek word phileo, which means brotherly love. And Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. And so when you love your brother, you will go to bat for your brother, you might say. You will intercede for your brother. You will stand in the gap for your brother. And you can love your brother and your brethren even in places where you haven't even met them before. Beloved, when I came to Africa, I did not know one single person on this continent. And there's over 1 billion people here. But I love my brothers here. I would sacrifice for them. I would do just about anything to help them. In fact, I've made great sacrifices to be here and to help them. And so this is the kind of love, the brotherly love. But phileo, or brotherly love, is the love that we have for the brethren, especially the brethren in the faith. And you can love people that aren't in the faith. You can love Muslims. You can love pagans. You can love people that aren't in the faith. But God has a special love that we love the people of the faith, the brethren in the church, in the fellowship. And the Lord says that we are our brother's keeper. And so, beloved, when you understand that we are to help other people, and we are to help feed them, we are to help clothe them. Beloved, that's one of the things we do here in Africa, is we have a children's ministry. Every single day we're feeding at least 40 children in a preschool, and now we've started a children's center out of Makunda at our church, and we fed last Saturday 120 children there at the children's center. And some of those children have not had a good meal like that probably for several days, maybe even for a week or more. And so they're very appreciative. They're very humble about it. They thank you. They thank you. And so that is God's will and his plan for our ministry here. And that is phileo love. You love your brother. You want to help your brother. You want to raise up your brother into better circumstances, a better situation. And so that becomes a great motivation for us here in Africa. 1 John 3:14, John says, "We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren." You care, you care, you care. When you care about people, you know that you are full of love. When you care about people that ordinarily you might walk past, people that are beggars or people that are children in Mumias Town that are sniffing glue and walking down the street begging for 10 shillings, you know you have passed from death to life when you love those people and you care about them and you see them. And you have a heart for their situation. You have a heart for their brokenness. You have a heart to try to extend a hand to them, not just to give handouts forever, but extend a hand to them and to really help them to improve their situation and to help them be better in life. And so John says, we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And so John is saying that the anger in your heart, if you have anger, you have bitterness, if you have unforgiveness towards someone, that thought that you have in your mind and that passion, that desire, that evil desire that's in your heart that can manifest as murder, that you're actually murdering with your thoughts. You're actually murdering with the attitudes that you have towards people, and that you cannot inherit eternal life when you have that spirit within you. And then verse 16 in 1 John 3, John says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He went to the cross for us. Even while we were yet sinners, even while you and I were yet still sinners, Jesus knew us even before we were born. He knew that we would be a sinner because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so you have fallen short, I have fallen short, we have sinned, and Jesus willingly, voluntarily took on our sin. On the cross, he shed his precious blood that our sin could be covered by his blood and by the death that he experienced on the cross. And so he laid down his life for us. He would do it again, but he doesn't need to. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, sometimes you see people that love their brethren. Mostly it happens family situations where you see people love their family so much that they give up a kidney or give up a body part or something that is very, very valuable to them. And so John says, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, beloved, I can't tell you all that I have laid down to come to Africa. It has been in some ways very, very pleasant for me, very, very pleasurable, full of joy and full of satisfaction and fulfillment, just knowing that I have been here to serve my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it has been very fulfilling to know that I am walking in my destiny, that I am fulfilling the calling God has on my life. And yet, at the same time, that's balanced by the fact that I've had to give up things that are very, very precious to me, and that is the fellowship with my family, regularly seeing my family, regularly seeing people that are very dear to me, church family back in the USA, and just the comforts of home, of living in the USA, the safety, the security, the good food, all those things that you take for granted. When you go into a restaurant in the USA, for the most part, you don't have to worry about if you're going to get poisoned. And when you get on a bus, you don't have to worry about if you're going to crash. For the most part, things are pretty safe in the USA. And so you have to give a lot up if you're going to be a missionary, whether it's to Africa, to Asia, to Central or South America, wherever it is you go, where God sends you, for the most part, it's going to be difficult and you have to give up a lot. Well, in verse 17, John says, "Whoever has this world's goods, that is the material goods, and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And so John is saying, when you have material blessings in your life, which we do here in the USA, we have tremendous material blessings. Even the people here in the USA who are considered to be in poverty and considered to be in financial straits, they have so much more than people in Africa and people in the 1040 evangelism window, people in places around the world where they have not heard the good news of the gospel. We have so much in America, and it is a blessing to us. The Bible says that he who gives to the poor, he lends to the Lord, and the Lord will pay him back. And so we do here in Africa as part of the ministry. We do many projects. We have things going with the children's ministry. We have things going with street children. We have things going with people to establish businesses, to try to get started with small startup businesses. And of course, most of all, we preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus, so people can come to know him as Lord and Savior and be healed and be delivered and be set free from their bondage. But when you have the world's goods, John says, and you see your brother in need and you close up your heart to that brother, how does the love of God abide in him? And I'm thankful to say that many, many of the hospitals, the clinics, many of the endeavors of people helping people here in Africa have been projects of the United States of America, churches in the USA, and the government, USAID, and government institutions that are active here in Africa. And I'm proud to say that I am from the USA, and I can see the benefits of all of that activity, the blessings of all that activity to the people here in Africa. If it wasn't for the people in the USA blessing them, the lifestyle and the standard of living here for the people in Africa would be much, much lower than it is. People would be much sicker, and when they go to the hospital, they wouldn't get the care that they need. And so I'm very grateful for the people in the USA. I'm very grateful for the people who have supported Gather the Outcast Ministry, all the different things that we've done here. And beloved, the best is yet to come. The Children's Center that we have established out of Makunda, we're going to be feeding hundreds of children every month. We're going to get them mosquito nets. We're going to get them shoes. We're going to get them clothing. We're going to get them soccer balls. There's really no limit to the things that we can do. We can establish medical clinics, do dentistry work, do eye exams. There's many, many things we can do to bless those children out there. There's thousands of children out there in Makunda Village, and it's about 70% Muslim village. So when we make any efforts to help them, it's not just in the material realm, but it also helps them because we teach and preach about Jesus Christ to them, that the reason that we love them, the love that we have for them, comes from our relationship in Jesus Christ. Well, beloved, this is the end of this message. Although there's so much more to say on love, I may continue with this next week because it's such a big subject, and I wanted to get to 1 Corinthians 13, what we call the love chapter, and so we may do that next week. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and so we thank the Lord for the many years that we have had support and prayer from those of you out there who listen, and I invite those of you who've never helped to support this ministry to do that today. Sit down, write us out a letter, tell us you're listening, or send me an email, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Include a check, include a donation on PayPal. Go to my website, gatheroutcasts.com, and there's a donate button there. You can donate through PayPal. But I invite you to support this ministry, help keep these radio broadcasts coming, and help keep the projects in Africa expanding and going into the far off corners of the earth. And God will bless you. He will bless us. And we will continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ with these people in East Africa. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.